All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack in memory of Saul and Floret Pollack, Sarah Bas Avram and Shmuel Ben Zachariah. May their neshamas have an aliyah and the families in the chamon. Also, as we know, today is Yom HaShoah, the day in which one of the days, even though, you know, it's an interesting thing because even though we know that Tisha B'Av is the day that we commemorate all tragedies of Klal Yisrael, all tragedies of Klal Yisrael, but nevertheless, this is a day that was designated to also commemorate this Churban. So therefore, again, whatever one's religious feelings are is somewhat irrelevant. At the end of the day, any day that's set aside to remember such an incredible and overwhelming Churban of Klal Yisrael, 6 million Kiddushim, requires us to be attentive. So we dedicate our learning this morning, the Ilui Nishmas, the 6 million Kiddushim, in the hope that their neshamas will have an aliyah, and they should emir Hashem, all each of them individually, be a melech Yosha for Klal Yisrael. All right, so let's begin. Yud Beis Amud Aleph, first word, Umi Havi Shaman HaMishcha. So the Gemara asks, was there really Shaman HaMishcha? So remember, again, to pick up a little bit, the Gemara beforehand was discussing the idea that King Yehoahaz was, Yoyakim, was anointed with Shaman HaMishcha. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, was there Shaman HaMishcha in the times of Yoyakim? After all, the Gemara says, V'hatanya, but we learned, V'she Nignas Aron, Nignas Shaman HaMishcha, when the Aron was hidden away, the Shaman HaMishcha was also hidden away. So we'll say, this is actually a fascinating braisa, speaking about all of the things that were hidden away in anticipation of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So when the Aron was hidden, the Shaman HaMishcha was hidden. Tzintzenas Haman, Tzintzenas was the jar of man that was kept on the Aron. Umaklo shel Aron, the staff of Aron, Shkediel Prachel, with its almonds and its flowers. V'argaz sheshalchu plishtim daron liYisrael. And included in that, of course, was the argaz, which is the box in which the plishtim sent a gift to Klal Yisrael. What is this referring to? Shene Amar, Ve'es klei hazav asher shevosim la'asham, tasimu ba'argaz mitido, v'shilachtem osav ha'alach. So we'll say this is referring to when the sons of Eli, Chafni and Pinchas, took the Aron out to war with Klal Yisrael and were defeated by the Plishtim. The Plishtim not only defeated Klal Yisrael, but they also went ahead and took the Aron captive. This is the famous Maase Navi, where wherever they took the Aron, there was an incredible outbreak of diarrhea and hemorrhoids to the point that the Plishtim said, thanks, but no thanks. They sent back the Aron, and together with the Aron, they sent back a gift of gold. That gold was kept together with the Aron. So the Gemara is saying that when they hid away the Aron, they hid away that gold as well. Umi Gonzo, and who hid the Aron? Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda Gonzo. Yoshiyahu, the king of Yehuda, went ahead and hid it away. Why? Shera'a shekasu batorah, because he saw the pasuk that said, Yolech Hashem oscha ves malkecha. Yoshio saw the writing on the wall that there was going to be a galus. And he saw the writing on the wall that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. And as such, he did not want these items falling into Gentile hands. And therefore, again, he went ahead and he hid them. Therefore, Tziva v'gonzum shenei amar, v'yomra l'levim ha'mevinim l'chol Yisrael, ha'kidoshim la'ashem, t'nuas arna kodesh be'bayis asher bono Shlomo ben David, melech Yisrael. So apparently, Shlomo HaMelech built subterranean chambers in the first Beis HaMikdash. Whether he built them in anticipation of its destruction or whether he built them from some other reason, the point is there are subterranean chambers in the Beis HaMikdash. So Yoshio gives the command to the Levim to hide the Aron as well as all these other things in some of the subterraneans. Joel says it's an amazing thing because what it tells us is, at least according to this Gemara, that the Aron HaBris is in Har HaBayis. It's somewhere there. It's somewhere buried in Har HaBayis itself, waiting ultimately, again, I guess, for Mashiach to come to reveal its location. So the Gemara says, Eilochem Masa B'Kasef, Ato Ivduas Hashem Elokeichem Ves Amo Yisrael. Paul said, this is such a beautiful pasuk. So Yoshio tells the Levim, you no longer have any Avoda B'Kasef. Avoda B'Kasef means what? You don't have to carry anything. There's no longer anything for you to carry. But what is your job? So, ivdu es Hashem Elokeichem ve'es Amo Yisrael. What's your job? To be an Eved Hashem and to be an Eved to Klal Yisrael. Just because you don't have your responsibility, this goes back to what we saw 2 days ago, right? About the idea that any form of leadership is really a form of avdus. You don't carry the Aron anymore now. That's fine. Be an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be an Eved to Klal Yisrael. Amar Belazar, Asya, the Gemara makes a gzeira shava from Asya Sham Sham. Asya Mishmeres, Asya Doros Doros. So I'll say ultimately again we make Gzir Shava between all of these items listed above to teach us that just as the Aron was hidden, so too all of these items were hidden as well. So I'll say, so therefore again we come back to our original question. How could you tell me that Yehoachaz was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha because of his older brother Yehoyakim, when at the end of the day there is no more Shemen HaMishcha by this point in time, to which the Gemara answers, Amra Papa, Ba'afar Sama Dachya. You're right, Rabbi Osai. There is no Shemen HaMishcha, but instead he was anointed ultimately again with balsam oil. With balsam oil. Okay, so there was Shemen HaMishcha, balsam oil. So remember again, we may mention this, who else was anointed with balsam oil? Shemen HaFar Simon, Shaul. Why? Because Shaul was not a Davidic king. Malchus was always going to come from Yehuda. Shaul is from Ephraim. So Shemen HaFar Simon, Rabbi Osai, represents an anointing, but we'll call it a more temporal anointing. So the Gemara goes right to Tanai Banan. Kate will say, these Gemaras are amazing. Tanai Banan, Kate said, Moshe Chinas HaMalachim. How do you go ahead and anoint a king? How do you anoint a king? So Kamin Nazir. So the Gemara says, you go ahead and you make it like a Kamin Nazir. Nazir means like a crown. Like a crown. Ve'es ha-kohanim kimin ki. And the kohanim ultimately, again, like a ki. My kimin ki. So we'll say, so again, the king, you take Shemen HaMishcha, you smear it around his head like a crown. How do you go ahead and anoint the kohanim? Kimin ki. My kimin ki. Kim Rav Nashri Abargado kimin kaf yevani. Like a Greek kaf. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi has over here kimin nezer, kimin kaf yevani, excuse me. Rashi has it looking like the letter ches. So we'll say the way that looks, by the way, according to Rashi is, I'm going to give you a visual over here. You start between the eyes, and essentially again, you smear the Shemen HaMishcha down up the head, all the way down to the neck. So it's like a ches. It's like a ches. Others say it looks a little bit more like a chaf sofis. Okay, but you get the point over here is, you're starting at the front of the head, and you're smearing the oil all the way to the back of the head. Tani chada, betchila motzkin Shemen HaRosho, so we have two conflicting accounts. According to one account, we go ahead and we pour the shemen on his head first, and then afterwards we put it between his eyes. A different brisa says, no, first we put the shemen between his eyes, and then we go ahead and we pour it on his head. Tanaihi. We'll say it's machlokes time about the proper order. We know that anointing requires both pouring as well as putting oil between the eyes. So it's machlokes apparently again, which is the proper order. Ikadami mashicha adifa, vikadami yitzika adifa. So some say again, I will say that the anointing between the eyes is the most important part, and others say no, it is the pouring of the oil on the head that is the most important part. My time in demand domar yitzika adifa. We'll say, what is the reason for the opinion who says that the pouring is the most important part? Tichsiv, vayitzok mishemen ha-mishcha al rosh aron, vayimshach oso lekadsho. We'll say, because again, the pasuk itself says what? Vayitzok first. The pasuk itself says you pour the oil before you what we'll call you anoint the oil, or you dab the oil, you smear the oil. So you see that tzitzika is more important. Umandar mshicha adifa, the opinion who says that no, the shmearing is more important. Kasavar shekin atamotzi etzak lisharis. He says, remember again, Abosai, that yitzika, pouring of oil, is something you not only find by the Kohen, but you also find by what? By the Kalim. The fact that the utensils are also anointed with pouring tells us that pouring is the dominant form of inauguration. So the Gemara says, "I v'haksiv v'yitzok v'sof v'yimshach." But here's the problem: the order in the pasuk is first v'yitzok pour, and then v'yimshach anoint. Hachi kamar. This is what the pasuk means to say: matam v'yitzok. Why is it that ultimately again we pour mishum de v'yimshach? Because the anointing has already been done. So we'll say fundamental machlokes tanoim as to ultimately again how the proper anointing was done. Two parts to the anointing. One is the pouring of the oil over the head. One is the smearing between the eyes. Which one was done first? So I suggest you should know, the Braisa Paskin, the Rambam Paskins, that first Motskin and then Nosnin. The Rambam Paskins, that the way they would anoint the Kohen Gadol was first to go ahead and pour the oil, and then to go ahead and smear it between his eyes. Okay? So Gemara says the following. Ten Rabbanan. He's going to say, these Gemaras are amazing. Kishemen Hatov, Yoreid ala Zakan, Zikan Aram. Like good oil that flows down the beard. That flows down the beard of the older Aaron HaKohen. So we'll say, so the pasuk over here The pasuk over here is quoting. Let me read you the pasuk in its entirety. So the pasuk over here, it's from Tel. Kashavan atov harosh al harosh yored al hazakan zikan aron she yored al pimi dosav. So I say, so what Shemen HaTov are we talking about that's flowing down the beard of Aaron HaKohen? So the Gemara says it's a reference ultimately again to the Shemen HaMishcha. Remember again, Aaron is anointed by Moshe with anointing oil, Shemen HaMishcha. But also listen to this beautiful Gemara. Kimin shnei tipos margolios hayu tluyos la'aron b'zikno. Also listen to this. There were two droplets of Shemen HaMishcha that were constantly hanging on the edge of Aaron's beard. Amara Papa, Tana, Kishu misaper olos v'yoshvos lo be'ikar zekano. So I say when Aaron would talk, so the droplets would like roll up the beard a little bit. Why? So that they wouldn't fall off as he was talking. So two droplets of Shemen HaMishcha that sit on the edge of his beard, and when he would talk, they would roll up. Va'al davar zeh hayamoshe doig. We'll discuss the symbolism. Va'al davar zeh hayamoshe doig. And we'll say, regarding these two droplets, Moshe Rabbeinu was always worried. What was he worried about? We'll say, second wide line, Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Amar, Shema Chas HaSholem Alti B'Shan HaMishcha. Maybe I committed an act of Mi'ila. Now what is the concern? We'll say, in other words, maybe I applied too much Shemen HaMishcha, and therefore, again, it constitutes an act of Mi'ila. Remember again, what's Mi'ila? Mi'ilah is illegal or mundane use of consecrated property. So the Gemara says, Yotas HaBaskol V'Amra K'Shemen HaTov. So ultimately, again, the Baskol comes out and says, K'Shemen HaTov, like the good oil, K'Tal Chermon. And again, I will say so beautifully, the Pasuk compares, this is the very next Pasuk. This is all in Kapitel Kuf Lamed Gimel, 133. It says, Ketal Chermon Shiored al Har Etzion, like the dew of the Chermon, which falls down in Har Etzion. So what's the comparison between the oil and Tal Chermon and the dew? Matal Chermon, in bo mi'ila, av Shemen HaMishcha, shebezak and Aaron, in bo mi'ila. Just like Rav Osai, there is no mi'ila with dew, so too again, the Shemen HaMishcha, in the beard of Aaron, there is no Me'ilah as well. The Adayin Haya Aaron Doeg. But still, Aaron was concerned. Amr Shema Moshe Lo Ma'alavani Avalani Ma'alti. Well, Aaron says, maybe Moshe didn't commit Me'ilah, but maybe I did. In other words, maybe I got some Hana from the oil that was not Kohanically related. Yotze Sabaskal V'Amra, so beautiful. Hinei Matobu Manoim Sheves Achim Gam Yachad. Ma Moshe Lo Ma'al Af Atalo Ma'alto. So Pasuk says how beautiful it is for brothers to sit together in peace. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu didn't commit Mi'ilah. Aaron, don't worry, you didn't commit Mi'ilah as well. I'll say again very quickly, what's the symbolism that the Shemen HaMishcha is always sitting in the beard of Aaron? I'll say when is Shemen HaMishcha applied to someone when they're inaugurated for a new service? The Shemen HaMishcha represents newness. The Shemen HaMishcha represents excitement. The Shemen HaMishcha represents zrizus for something new. What Chazal were telling us was that the Shemen HaMishcha always remained on the beard of Aaron. It was as moist, it was as wet as the day it was applied. To tell you that Aaron's excitement for the Kohuna Gedola, Aaron's excitement for Zavodas Hashem, was as fresh every single day as the first day he did it. And ultimately, again, the incredible metaphor for us, Rabbi Osei, we know that the greatest challenge in our Yiddish Chayit, Rabbi Osei, is not the execution of God's commandments. Generally speaking, we could handle that. We could handle Shmiras HaMitzvos, observance. Our greatest challenge is feeling a newness, is feeling an excitement, is feeling like it's something special that we have the opportunity to do. The godless of Aaron HaKohen was not simply that he complied with the divine mandate. That's obvious. Every Jew has to comply with the divine mandate. The godless of Aaron HaKohen is that he felt an excitement like the day in which the Shemen HaMishcha was first applied to him. So the Gemara goes, Vayit, turn up on him. It was a beautiful Gemara. In Moshe Mesamalachim ala Mayon, Kedesh Shetimashech Malchusam. It was like, so we only anoint kings. We anoint kings. This literally means we only anoint kings by a mayon, by a spring. Kedesh Shetimashech Malchusam. It was like, because anointing a king by a spring was like a symbolically good omen. The idea being that just like the spring flows, so too again the king's monarchy should continue to flow as well. Shene Emar Vayom HaMelech. Was that's why, just as in a total aside, if you go into the Tor of Ir David, and you take the water tunnel, the Gihon, that's the Gihon spring. We'll say that is where Klal Yisrael historically anointed Malachim, by the Gihon. It's an incredible thing to see. You stand in that, and it's fun because you're walking through water. But more fun than walking through water, I will say, is to stand on the spot where literally, again, Malchi Beis David were anointed. That's the spot. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Shneemar, Ve'yimra melech lehem kichuim ochem es avdi adonechem, foraritim osa la gichon. Oh, gichon. Good. Rabbi Yami. Haiman, we'll say, listen to this. We'll say, this... I have to tell you, I originally wasn't going to be here today. And then when I saw this Daf Gemara, I said, you know, I can't miss this. I can't miss this. We'll also listen to this. I'm Rabbi Ami. Haiman de boy leida. Imasik shasi ilo. We'll also listen to this. If a person wanted to know if they're going to live out the year or not. Now again, please don't leave early from this before we finish this piece over here, right? I don't want anyone walking away with things. So listen to this. First, wants to know if they're going to live out the year or not. So what should you do? Ilo, nitli shagav asar yom debein rosh shanah liyom kippurim. Take a candle during asar simei tshuva. Day between rosh shanah yom kippur. Bevesed lo nashiv zeka. Put it in a house, bless you, where there is not a strong wind, bless you. Imashich nehura. If bless you, if the candle remains lit, it's enough. All right, if the candle remains lit, then what? Neida demasik shasya. But also, if the candle remains lit, then a person knows that they're going to live out the year. So once you hear this, take a candle but during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, place it in a home where there is not a strong wind. If the candle remains lit, you're going to live out the year. Similarly, uman deboy le'me'avid be'iska. I said number one. Number two, person wants to know if they're going to be successful in business. I have a particular business venture that I want to undertake. Am I going to be successful or not? Uboy le'me'da imatzlech ilo matzlech. And I want to know if I'm going to be successful or not successful. Lirbi tanagola. Buy yourself a rooster. Buy yourself a rooster. E shamin v'shapir. If the rooster gets fat, matzlech. The Rebbe will say that's a sign you're going to be successful. Number three. I'm going on a trip, and I want to know if I'm going to come back. I want to know if I'm going to make it back or not. So what should I do? So what happens? Ultimately, again, go to a home that is darkened. Not that it's pitch dark, but that is darkened. If you see the shadow of your shadow, then you know ultimately again that you're going to come home okay. So I want to point something out over here. What is going on in this Gemara? Right? What is this talking about? So first of all, so the Marshav, again, I'm going to owe you, say, you'll write this down. I owe you this Marshav. We have to do this inside. Maybe Shabbos, because Shabbos is daf, is a tiny little dafala. It's just a little piece. So the Marshav says over here, he says, I don't understand. There's a biblical prohibition of lo senachashon. You're not allowed to engage in forms of divination. So we don't do omens. So the Marshav says something absolutely amazing. The Marashah says, well, say, if you look at the Gemara does something dramatic. If a person wants to know if they're going to live out the year or not, so what does the Gemara say? Take a candle, put it in a home where there's not a lot of wind. And what does the Gemara say? If it stays lit, then you're going to live. We'll say, what doesn't the Gemara say? If it goes out, you're going to die. But say, if you notice again on each of the things mentioned in the Gemara, the only thing that's mentioned is the positive. The Marsha says something amazing. The default setting of life is that things are going to work out. A person has to have an expectation that things in life are going to work out, that I'm going to live, that I'm going to be successful, that I'm going to make it back home. So if I do the omen, and the omen confirms the positive outcome, then what? But say, that's not an omen. What is that? Life. That's life. That is an affirmation that things are good, which is the natural default mindset of the Jew. If the candle goes out, what does it mean? Maybe. Nothing. It means nothing. It means don't pay attention to it, because again, that's an omen then. So we'll say it's an amazing yisod. When the Gemara talks about these omens are here ultimately again to affirm a positive outlook on life, which is supposed to be the default outlook, of the Jew. So if these omens confirm the positive outcome, fantastic. You think it says something negative, simply ignore it. I will say, so you understand, I'm not doing the Marashah justice, it's a much longer piece. I will say, you understand the godless in this idea that is teaching us how to look at life. You know, there are some people that are always waiting for the other shoe to drop. There are some people who are just waiting for the sky to fall. And sometimes for a good reason. Sometimes because they've had a lot of life trauma and a lot of life difficulties. And sometimes when you've been through a lot, you just expect bad stuff to happen. It's understandable. But that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to have a positive expectation for life. That things are good. That things will work out. That life is beautiful. That has to be the natural default. Rabosai, so you say to yourself, okay, it's easy to have that mindset if everything works out. But again, herein lies the true test of our spiritual mettle. I'm supposed to have that outlook even if things don't work out. It didn't work out this time. It'll work out next time. It didn't work out for the last 25 years. It's okay, Baruch Hashem, the next 25 are going to be great. I would say that's the power of the Jew, to have an unconquerable optimism, to have an unconquerable positive outlook on life. That's what these signs do. But most of the Gemara ends off, the Gemara says, V'lav milsihi. But my suggestion, the Gemara says, is don't pay attention to omens. Why? The Gemara says, Dilma chal shadaiti misra mazlei. Because you know what the problem is? The problem is, as beautiful as that marsha is, if you're that guy who lights the candle, and then what? It goes out. Suddenly, it's not going to be so easy to shake that one off. So therefore, the Gemara says, you know what? You're better off just staying away from omens. Not omens, from staying from these type of symbols in general. But we'll say, yet, the Gemara says something just to pull up. It's very exciting. Amr Abaye, hashta da amr simna milsi. We'll say, do you see this? This is the Gemara. So Abaye says, now that you tell me that omens are significant, not biblically prohibited omens, but like signs are significant, get ready for this. We'll say, this is halacha l'maisa. Li'olam yehe ragil mechze b'reish shasa. We'll say, therefore, a person should always look at, now if you notice again, so the girsa over here is lemechze. So the Hagos Yunim changes it to lemechol. We'll say, in fact, again, this Gemara appears here in Meseches Harios and in Edios, and I will say two different girsos. One is lemechze, one is lemechol. We'll discuss it in just a moment. So Abai says, now that we said that, what? That omens are significant, a person on Rosh Hashanah should look at or should eat kra, rubya, karsi, silky, tamre. Person should eat a gourd and a fenugreek and leeks and beets and dates. So Osai, you understand? We do this. This is Simna Milsa. We do this at Rosh Hashanah, right? We sit down and we go through a whole bunch of foods on Rosh Hashanah. Where does that practice come from? That is a derivative. Now, that's this Gemara. Osai, now if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, Rashi says, if you look, it's on the left-hand side of Rashi, about six lines into the short lines. Kra, rubya, karsi, silky, tamari. Why these food items? Dahani gadli la'agal tfei mishayirakos. But say Rashi says the common denominator amongst these things is that they grow fast. They represent vitality. So we choose. We both say this is different because the Torah brings down something different. The Torah explains that the reason we eat these items is because of their names, which also we see the hiratzons. The hiratzons somehow are a play on these names. Rashi says no. The common denominator amongst these items is they grow quickly, and therefore they represent vitality. Because of that, ultimately, again, we begin Rosh Hashanah with those items. Let's just say something interesting. The Mate Ephraim actually brings down this idea. He says, why does one Gemara say, L'michzi l'meichel? I'll tell you, this is an incredible nafkamina. Let's say I don't like any of the symbolic foods. I don't like dates, beets, leeks, fenugreek. Fish heads, lamb's heads, just not my thing, right? So I will say, which for many people, that's the case. Right? So I will say, so what happens if I don't like any of these things? What do you do with it? So the Mate Ephraim says, there is still an inyan to have each of them on your table, and to look at them, and to recite the Yiratzon, based on the skirs of the Gemara. Everyone thinks it's just lemechol, just to eat. It's not true. Even if you're not going to eat it, there's an inyan ultimately to have it, lemechse, to look at it. Incredible. Says the Gemara, Amar Mishashi Lebrei. Well, says Rav Mishashi has said to his son, when you want to come and learn Torah from your Rebbeim, Gersu Masnisa Va'alu L'Kamei Rabbeichu. Well, say, listen to this. Prepare. Learn the Mishnayos before you go to your Rebbe. Well, in other words, if you want to really learn, so it's incredible, Yisod, learning requires preparation. You can't just show up to learn. A person has to prepare themselves. So he says, review your Mishnayos, and then go before your Rebbe. And when you sit before your Rebbe, well, so listen to this, look at your Rebbe's mouth. Look at your Rebbe's mouth. Tichsiv v'hayu einecha ros esmorecha. But say, such an interesting application. We know that pasuk to mean that ultimately, again, we should be looking at our Rebbeim. He's saying over here, dafka, look at their lips as the words are coming out. V'chi garsisu garsu al nara demayo. When you learn by a river. She sounds nice. So we can go to the Baltimore Hebrew parking lot. Right? Learn by a river. V'chi hechi demashchan maya. Mashkan Shmasaihu. Well, say in the same way that ultimately, again, the water flows, so your learning should flow as well. V'tivu al kilkolik demasa machasya, v'lo tivu Apane de Pompadisa. Well, so listen to this profound statement. And better to sit, better to learn on the garbage heaps, or better to sit, I should say, to live in the garbage heaps of Masa Machasya, and don't live in the palaces of Pompadisa. Well, so look at Rashi for just a moment. De Masa Machasya, Havu Tamidi Chacham Ruyum Lohoras Atarbus Yafe, Haya Bohem. Aval Pompadisa Lo Hava Atarbus Maal, Yokokach. The Kamerle Mutav Lo Lodr Ba'ashpa, Ba Masa Machasya, Milodr Apan Pompadisa. Better to live in a garbage dump in Pompadisa than in a mansion, in Masa Machasya, than a mansion in Pompadisa. Well, so what does that mean? That apparently Masa Machasya was an incredible Makom Torah. Pompadisa not as much, which is interesting, because we have to think Pompadisa was one of the major Torah cities. I guess at different points in history it was different, the quality was different. Better to live in a garbage heap in a Makom Torah than to live in a mansion in a place that is not a Makom Torah. Furthermore, Tov Galdina Sarya de Masa Machasya Lamechal Mikusach de Rami Kipir. We'll say furthermore, again, better to eat a Galdina Sarya, we'll say, means a Galdina is a type of fish. Better to eat a type of fish, ultimately, of this galdina of fish that's about to spoil, than to eat the kusach of Rami Kippur. So kusach was a higher end dip. So better to eat a fish that's almost going bad than to eat the fine dip of the kusach. Rosh Hashanah means what? Be careful. Pleasures in life you attach yourself to. Because I will say, the more pleasures a person needs, the higher the material upkeep is, the more difficult it is to focus on spirituality. So what he's telling his son is, better to get by on the putrid fish than to have to require the kusach. Because once you require the kusach, again, you're going to need a lot more materialism, ultimately, again, to make you happy. So I want to say, he's giving his son all of these incredible lessons. Live in a Makom Torah, even if it means living in a garbage dump, better than going ahead and living in a mansion somewhere that's not a Makom Torah. Be careful how much materialism you build into your life. Because whatever materialism you build into our life, so we all know this, you know, what begins as a luxury very quickly becomes a necessity. And once it becomes a necessity, you move on to the next luxury. That becomes a necessity until these things become indispensable parts of my life, which then unfortunately leads me sometimes to place an overemphasis on my materialism and less of an emphasis on my spirituality. Beautiful. Rama Karni Belokai. So we'll say the Pasuk says, David HaMelech says, literally, my horn was lifted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rama karni velo rama pachi. Literally, and I will say now, we assume that this horn is a reference to the horn in which the Shemen HaMishka was contained. My horn and not my jug. David and Shlomo who were anointed with the oil inside of the keren, inside of a horn, so their monarchy endured. Shol v'yeyushim shchu b'pach. But Shaul and Yerubase, who were anointed with oil from a pach, from an earthenware jug, their monarchy did not endure. Rabbosai, the pashas, what that means is as follows. Rashi points out that a pach is earthenware. Earthenware easily cracks, as opposed to a horn, right? A keren endures. So I'll say, so because of that, those who are anointed from the horn, their monarchy endures. Those anointed from the pach, their monarchy does not. So we're going to go back a little bit to Gemara. So remember again, the Mishnah made a distinction between the Kohen Gadol who was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha versus the Kohen Gadol who was Merubah Bebegadim. Says the Gemara Tana, but a Mashiach Yachol Lachol. I'm sorry, Yachol Melech. So we'll say, when it says Mashiach, so maybe Mashiach doesn't refer to the Kohen Gadol. Good morning, Mr. Shompo. Maybe Mashiach doesn't refer to the Kohen Gadol, maybe it refers to the Melech. Tamalomar Kohen, I Kohen Yachol Merubah Bebegadim. If it says Kohen, I might have thought that even refers to the Kohen who is anointed with the Kohanic vestments. Tamalomar Mashiach. Therefore, the Pasuk says Mashiach. Imashiach Yochel Mashuach Melchama. If it just says Mashiach, I might have thought that's even the king of Rabosai who is appointed ultimately again to go to war. Rabosai, by the way, this pasuk is talking about the special power of the Kohen Gadol. I might have thought that even this is the Kohen who goes out to war. Tamulomer v'hakohen. Therefore, Rabosai, the pasuk goes out and uses a distinct lashon of v'hakohen. Hamashiach Sheno Mashiach al Gabov. Who is anointed, which means there is no one anointed above him. So the Gemara says, "My mashma kedama Rava hayerech hamiyumenes shabiyerech." So we'll say the same way in the pasuk talks about hayerech. It means again the specific part in the earth. This is not the Isra of Gidan Nosha. Hachanami hamashiach. When it says hamashiach hamiyuman shabimeshuchim, it means the one who is designated amongst all those who are anointed. Because let's remember again, as we saw before, the Kohen Mashuach Melchama was also anointed, but the Kohen Gadol ultimately again was the unique ones amongst those who were anointed. Amar Mar, Mashiach Yochel Melech. So we'll say, Gemara says, but when the Gemara said before that, if I'm going to throw in the pasuk, it says Mashiach, maybe that refers to the king. Melech, parhu demaisi? Does the king, we'll say, if the king inadvertently does something which is aser, does he bring a par? Sarhu demaisi? He brings a sar, that's a mafurish pasuk, to which the Gemara says, Itzchik sakadait chamino, ashigilas maisi yavi sayer. I'm going to throw as follows. For an accidental act, maybe he brings a sar, al halam davar yavir par. We'll say, in a case of halam davar, maybe he should have to bring a par. Kamashlan rabba. Say, Kamashlan vidarshan, that the pasuk of Hamashiach ultimately again refers to the Kohen Gadol. Fine. Ein bein Mashiach b'shem haMishkan. So we'll say, the Mishnah then discusses ultimately the distinctions between the Mashiach b'shem haMishkan, the Kohen Gadol who is anointed with oil, versus the Kohen Gadol who is Meruba bebegadim, Masnisin delok Rabbi Meir. We'll say, our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Meir, because if it was Rabbi Meir, Hotanya, he said, Meruba begadim, maybe par, haba, because again, Rabbi Meir says that even Meruba b'begadim, I will say, even the Kohen Gadol, who is not appointed to Shana Mishcha, but rather is appointed because of the Kohanic vestments, so he brings a par al kol mitzvos. We'll say he brings the special par of the Kohen Gadol, the Rabbi Meir. For the whole Chachamim, the Chacham didn't agree with him. We'll say the Chacham said that the only Kohen who brings the special par of the Kohen Gadol, we'll say who is a Kohen Gadol who is anointed with Shana Mishcha, not Meruba v'Gadim. My time, Rabbi Meir. We'll say what's Rabbi Meir's logic? This Sanya Mashiach Eini Ela Mashiach b'Shana Mishcha. I only know that it refers to a Kohen who is anointed with Shana Mishcha, Meruba v'Gadim Inayin. How do I know that it even refers to a Kohen who is anointed with clothing? Talmud Lomar, Hakoin HaMashiach. Ultimately, again, the pasuk says, Hakoin HaMashiach. But my Okimte, so we'll see who we are establishing this. Like, Kirabanon, Amadeis, Ema Seifa, we'll say, yet look at the end of that raisa. Ein Bein Koin Meshamish the Koin Shavar, Ela Par Yomaki Purim Vasira Saif, Asiris Haifa. We'll say, yet what at the end of the raisa said, the end of the Mishnah said, excuse me, that there is no distinction between the Kohen Meshamish, or we'll say Kohen Meshamish means the active Kohen Gadol who is serving, the Kohen Shavar. We'll say, who is the Kohen Shavar? That was the fill-in Kohen Gadol. He was the Kohen Gadol, again, who filled in when there was something going on with the first Kohen Gadol. So there is no distinction between the two, except Par Yom HaKippurim, the special Par of Yom Kippur, and Asiris Sefer, which we'll say is the meal offering given by the Kohen Gadol every day. So the Gemara says, who does that reflect? Asan Rabbi Meir. We'll say that ultimately again reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. Disanya, because after all we learned, Irabo Psul B'Kohen Gadol V'Avar. So let's listen to this. If something happened to the Kohen Gadol, there was some type of Psul, and they had to remove him from office, V'Umino Kohen Acher Tachtov, and they appointed a replacement Kohen Gadol, Harishon Chozer Lavados. Well, so this is actually amazing. What happens when Kohen Gadol number one comes back to work? What happens when he comes back to work? So what happens? So the first one has the ability to come back to work. He's now the practicing Kohen Gadol. Vasheni Kol Mitzvos HaKohuna Alav. So we'll say the Sheni is still, of course, a full-fledged Kohen. Div Rebbe Meir. So we'll say ultimately, again, these words are Rebbe Meir. So we'll say Rebbe Meir ultimately holds that the first one is still a full-fledged Kohen. So I'll say what that means is that he just goes back. He's not a Kohen Gadol because Lamaisi he can't have two Kohanim Gedolim, but he's just a regular Kohen. Rabbi Yossi Omer Rishon Choz Lavadoso. Rabbi Yossi says when the first Kohen Gadol is fit for service, he comes back to work. V'sheni ain't a roi lo the Kohen Gadol lo the Kohen Hedjot. Wow! And what happens? The second guy I will say is Nishtahim Nishtaher. Nothing. He's not the Kohen Gadol, and he can't be a regular Kohen either. We'll discuss that in just a moment. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maisa B'Yosef Ben Elim, Mitzipur, Rabbi Yossi, this happened. There was once an episode with Yosef Ben Elim, who was the Kohen Gadol. She'ira bo psul b'Kohen Gadol, v'avar umino achar tachtov. So I'll say, so what happens? So there was this episode of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol got a psul. And what happens? We'll say they appointed another person. And then when the first Kohen Gadol came back to work, what happens? When the replacement Kohen Gadol, v'lenichu kohanim lios lo Kohen Gadol v'lo Kohen Hedjot. We'll say the replacement was now out of a job. He couldn't be a Kohen Gadol and he couldn't be any Kohen Hedjot. Why not? Kohen Gadol mishum eva. I will say no. In general, again, a Kohen Gadol because of animosity, you can't have two Kohanim Gidolim. It doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. There can't be two kings. There can't be two Kohanim Gidolim. At the end of it, there has to be one leader. So, furthermore, Kohen Hedyot Mishum Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'in Moridin. And I will say you can't go back to being a Kohen Hedyot either. Why not? Because I will say once you've been a Kohen Gadol, you can't go back to being a Kohen Hedyot. That doesn't make sense. Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'in Moridin. So Rabbi says, I don't say, based on this, Reish Rabbanon v'seif Rabbi Meir. You're going to tell me then that the Reish reflects the view of the Rabbanon, the seif of the view of Rabbi Meir. I'm Rabbi Yosef. I'm a Rabbi. I just lost the place. Seif Rabbi Meir. I'm Rabbi Chista in. He said yes. Reish Rabbanon v'seif Rabbi Meir. Yes, that is the way to read the Braisa. Rabbi Yosef. I'm a Rabbi. Rabbi Yosef says no. The entire reflects the view of Rabbi. But nasibli aliba de Tanai. Paul says Rabbi is the author of the Mishnah, and Rabbi chose to plug in different Tanaic opinions in different parts of the Mishnah. Rava Amar Reb Shimon he. Rava says, no, it's Rabbi Shimon. And it was Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Meir in one case and disagrees with Rabbi Meir in the other. Where do we see this? Tisanya, Dvarim Shabain, Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedjot. So we'll say, what are the differences between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedjot? Eluhain, these are the differences. Par haba, kol ha-mitzvos. We'll say, number one, is a special par that only a Kohen Gadol brings if indeed he transgresses something. Upar Yom Kippurim, the par of Yom Kippur, Vasir Sa'ifa, and the special daily meal offering. We will say, now watch this, V'lo Porea, V'lo Porem. And I will say, furthermore again, if a Kohen Gadol suffers a loss, Lo Porea will say means he doesn't let his hair grow long, right? And Porem, he does not go ahead and tear his clothing. Aval Hu Porem L'milamato. So we'll say, but what can the Kohen Gadol do? And we'll discuss this in greater depth. He could tear his clothing from the bottom. Now we'll discuss what that means in just a moment. Va'hedjot milamalo. But a hedjot, meaning we'll say in this case, a hedjot means what? A regular Kohen could tear his clothing from the top, for avelos. Ve'in matami lekrovim. And I will say neither of them, and the Kohen Gadol doesn't have the ability to go ahead and be matame even for his krovim, even for his immediate relatives. Umusar ala besula, and a Kohen Gadol could only marry a besula. Va'asar ba'amana, and he cannot marry. Kohen Gadol can't marry an amana. Umachzir as harotzeach, and the death of the Kohen Gadol ultimately again allows the rotzeach to leave the ira miklat. Umakriv onin, Kohen Gadol could go ahead and offer up krabanos even when he's an onin. We'll remember again, aninos is the period between death and burial. Ve'eno ochel. We'll say even though he could offer up a karban during the time of aninos, he can't eat of that karban during that time. Ve'eno cholik, and he doesn't receive a portion of karbanos offered during the time of aninos either. Makriv chelik barosh, v'nolta chelik barosh. We'll say if the Kohen Gadol has to offer a karban, he's allowed to cut the line, right? He can go ahead and offer first. And again, he is permitted to take his portion of any karban before any other kohen. And he wears 8 different garments. And I will say again, the entire avodah of Yom Kippur is only kosher with him. Or it's only could be done. I will say, first wide line, your base and base. And I will say, ultimately again, if he inadvertently rules regarding, we saw this a couple of days ago, regarding... If he erroneously rules regarding something to do with the Beis Hamikdash and the laws of Tumah, so ultimately again he is Potter. Potter means he doesn't have a special carbon on that. V'chulon noagin b'meruba begadim. And I will say the truth is all of these items, all of these requirements, which apply to a Kohen Gadol who is anointed with the Shemana Mishcha, also apply to a Kohen Gadol who is meruba begadim, with one exception, chutz. We'll say for one thing, which is a special par that is brought in a situation where the Kohen Gadol permits something that is punishable by kares. Only a Kohen Gadol who is anointed with oil brings that par. A Kohen Gadol who is meruba bevegadim, who is anointed, I will say, through putting on the vestments of the Kohen Gadol, does not bring that par. V'kula nuagin b'mashiach shavar. And I will say, all of these halachos of the Kohen Gadol also apply to what? To a replacement Kohen Gadol who is now out of a job. Right? To replace the Kohen Gadol, once the original Kohen Gadol comes back, it's called Mashiach Sha'avar, Chutz Mipar Yom Kippur and Vasira Sa'ifa. With the exception again of the part of Yom Kippur and the daily meal offering, V'chulan Einut Noagin B'Mashuach Milchama. And we'll say none of these things apply to the Kohen Gadol who was anointed for the purposes of Orchutz, Mehe Devarim Ha'amurim B'Parsha. With the exception of 5 things which are stated in the Torah, namely, Lo Porea V'lo Porem, if he suffers the loss of a close relative, he does not allow his hair to grow, right? Nor does he tear his clothing. V'emitam L'Krovav, L'Krovim, he cannot become tummy to his relatives. U'musra Ala B'Sula, he too has to marry a B'Sula. V'asr Ba'almana, and he cannot marry an Almana. U'machzir Es Harotzeach, and he has the ability through his death ultimately to what? To allow the rotzeach to leave the Eir HaMikla. Div Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham Necham say no, eino machzir. The Rabbah say ultimately again, the coin Mashuach Nechama, his death does not allow the rotzeach to come back home. So we'll say Mechlokes Rabbi Yehuda Nechachamim about whether or not the death of the Mashuach Nechama allows the rotzeach to come back. Vahai, Maid Reb Shimon. So we'll say, how do you know ultimately this reflects you of Rabbi Shimon? Amar Papa, Man Shamas Leidon, Apatar Atumas Meitah Shekadashem. Who is the one who said before that the Merub Begadim is Pater on Tumas Mitash Vekadashav, to which the Gemara says that's Rabbi Shimon. Good. Chutz Mehed Varm Hamurim Parash. So also remember again, the Brisa just said before that the coin Mashuach Mochama is considered to be all of the halachos that we discussed by the coin who was Mashuach B'Shem and Mishcha do not apply to the coin Mashuach Mochama with the exception of five things. So we'll say those are the five things that we just mentioned. Namely, again, he doesn't let his hair grow, he doesn't tear his clothing, he doesn't become tummy even to close relatives, he has to marry a Besula, and he can't marry an Amana. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, Mirhani Mili, from where do we know this from? Right, the Kohen who is greater than his brothers, Zeh Kohen Gadol. This is the first of the Kohen Gadol. Asher Yutzak al Rosh Hashem and Amishcha, you will put oil on his head. Zeh Mashuach Mechama. This refers what? To the Kohen who was anointed for war. And literally, again, he fills his hands to go to wear the clothing of Bosse, which refers to the special clothing of the Kohen Gadol. Zeh Merub Begadim. This refers ultimately again to a Kohen who becomes Kohen Gadol by putting on the special vestments of the Kohen Gadol. Akulan hu Omer, Rosho lo Yifra, Begadav lo Yifra. We'll say that all of these Kohanim, so we'll say whether you are a Kohen Mashuach Mechama, right? Whether you are a Kohen Gadol, Mashuach Mechama, Omer Ruba Begadim, the halach is, we'll say that what upon all of them it is said, Rosho lo Yifra, do not cut your hair in the event of Avelus, and Begadav lo Yifram, do not tear your clothing. Vakol nefashos meis lo yavo, nor can you come in contact with any corpse. Yachol yukula makrivin onanim, I might have thought that all of them offer up karbanos even in a state of aninos. Talmud lomar, kinezer shemen mishchas alokav alov. But the pasuk says literally, the crown of the anointing oil is on his head. Alov velo al chavero. Ultimately, again, upon him and not upon his fellow. So we'll say it is only the Kohen Gadol who is anointed with Shemana Mishcha who has the ability to go ahead and offer up a karban while he is in Onim. That is unique to him. That does not apply to any of our other Kohanim Gidolim. Even though all of the Kohanim Gidolim, because remember again, we have a number of people called the Kohen Gadol. There is the Kohen Gadol, who is anointed with Shemana Mishcha. Then there is the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, Kohen goes out to war. There is the Kohen Meruba Begadim, who is also the Kohen Gadol, but not anointed through Shemana Mishcha. All of these people have Kohen Gadol status. And in general, they all have pretty much the same basic halachos. The Gemara is just pointing out the exceptions over here, that halacha lemaisa, again, for hakravas on ba'aninos, for the ability to offer up a karban while in a state of aninos, that only applies to the kohen, who is anointed with oil, not to the other kohanim. I might have thought, the Gemara says, v'achar shechilko ha'kasov lo yeh mitzuvah basula. Maybe again, the halacha is after you see this distinction, ba'aninos. Maybe also only the kohen gadol anointed with shana mishcha shat demaria basula. Maybe the other ones don't have to. Talmud lomar vihu. Therefore, both say the pasuk says vihu, and vihu comes to include all of them in the din of basula. Kitanoi. And it was in reality, again, this is machlokes tanoim. Vu isha b'fsula yikach. But the pasuk says, he shall marry a woman who is a b'sula. Achar shechilik ha'kosov riba. After the Torah goes ahead and makes a chilik between them, the Torah includes all of them. Div Rabbi Yishmael. So we'll say, after the Torah makes a distinction between the various types of Kohanim Gidolim, the Torah once again groups them all together in the obligation to marry a woman who is a besula. These are Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Eini Ela Sha'avra Machmas Karyo, Machmas Mumin Minayin. We'll say, Rabbi Kiva says, I only know, we'll say, if you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, Avar machmas mumo minayin, Talmud lomar vahu, dafilu avar isha machmas mumo asr ba'amana. So I only know, let me read the first part of this. So the Gemara says over here as follows. I only know, Rabbi Kiva says, Eimli elashar machmas karyo, that even if a Kohen Gadol cannot work as a Kohen Gadol, because of what said, let's say he had a seminal emission. Even during that time when he can't go ahead and work as the Kohen Gadol, I still know that there's a prohibition for him to marry an almana. How do I know machmas mumin minayin? Well, say, how do I know that even if a kohen was, let's say, has some type of significant mum, which renders him unfit long term? We're going to discuss this more in depth in just a moment. How do I know that he still can't marry an almana? Tamud lomar vihu. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says vihu, which tells us that again, once he's in the state of a kohen gadol, he cannot marry an almana; can only marry a besula. But we'll say, this is the follow-up to the next question. Bamine Rava, Rav Nachman, Mashiach shenitzara mahu ba'amana. The boss said, listen to this kasha. What happens if the anointed kohen, he got saras? So I'll say, obviously, if he has saras, he cannot function as the kohen gadol. Right? Obviously, because he can't go into the base with saras. So I'll say, what's the shayla? Mahu ba'amana. Can he marry an amana? Can he marry an amana now that he can serve as a kohen gadol because of his saras? Can he marry an amana? Now, I will say that this might be a short-term marriage because once he's healed, he can't so he can't be married to her. But the ma'isa, for the period that he has saras, is he permitted to be married to an amana? So the Gemara says, mitchadachi, do we say that no? Once you were the kohen gadol, I will say, then what? Remember, again, we saw already before that once you're a kohen gadol, that status saves you. I will say, where do we see that? Remember again that even after he's no longer the operating kohen gadol, if he accidentally transgresses, he still brings the power, the right, the covering of the kohen gadol. So do we say mitchadachi? Once kohen gadol, always kohen gadol, and therefore again, even if he can't actively serve, he cannot marry an amana. Oh, miftar potter. Or we'll say maybe again, no, that the prohibition to marry an amana is a function of being the active kohen gadol. Once you are set aside from being the kohen gadol because of your tzaras, you can marry an amana. Lo hava biyadei. So let's remember again, Rava asked this shayla of Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman didn't know. So what happened? Zimna hamayasiv, Rav Papa v'kami barilei. So one time Rav Papa was sitting and he was asking this question. Amarlei huna braid Rav Nachman Rav Papa. So I say, so what happened? So Rav Papa was asking this question. So what happens? So Huna, the son of Rav Nachman, said to Rav Papa, Tanina, we learned it in a Mishnah. Eimi ela shavra machmas kerio. I only know ultimately a Kohen who the obligation to marry a Basula, or actually a prohibition to marry an Amana. I only know that even if a Kohen is disqualified because of a seminary mission, the prohibition of only marrying a Basula still applies. Avar machmas mumin minayin. Hadron Rabbah said that even if a Kohen is disqualified from service because of his mum, that Rabbah said the prohibition upon marrying certain women still applies. Tamalomar vihu. Rabbah said the word vihu means what? Vihu isha b'psalayikach means that he is always in his status of a Kohen Gadol. Even if he can't actively serve in that office, vihu, he is the Kohen Gadol, and therefore even if he has a mum and can't actively serve, he can only marry a Basula. Rabbah, listen to how beautiful this is. So Rabbah Papa asked the kasha. Rav Papa didn't know either. Huna answered the question. Well, this is so beautiful. So kam nashke bereshe, Rav Papa got up and kissed Huna on his head, v'yohev le barte, and gave him his daughter in marriage. Let's say so. Such a beautiful Gemara. I'm sure, of course, he called the references on the resume first, of course. But Lamaisa, after he did that, he went ahead and he gave him a kiss and he gave him his daughter. Incredible. Let's do another Mishnah. Kohen Gadol. We'll say. So remember again, we made reference to this before. It's actually very fascinating. Kohen Gadol pouring milamato v'hedot milamalo. So we'll say the halacha is that a Kohen Gadol goes ahead and pouring milamato, which means what? Tears his clothing. In the event that Chas Shalom there is a loss, he does kriya on the bottom of his clothing, v'hedyot milamala. But a regular kohen could do kriya on the top. Kohen gadol makrivonin, a kohen gadol could go ahead and offer up a karban even in a state of aninos, v'lo ochel, but he cannot eat it. He could offer it, but he can't eat it. V'hedyot lo makriv v'lo ochel. We'll say a regular kohen can't offer it and can't eat it. Can't offer it and can't eat it. Gemara. Amrav. Lemata lemata mamish, lemala lemala mamish. So we'll say, what does it mean when the kohen gadol does kriya on the bottom and the kohen hedyot does kriya on the top? So we'll say, Rav says that literally again, it means the bottom of the garment and the top of the garment. So we'll say, bottom of the garment would mean like by the hem, right? And top of the garment would be ultimately again by the neck, by the neck. So the Gemara says, Ushmul Amr Shmuel says, no. Lemata, lemata mikameh safa. Lemata means, we'll say, below the neckline. So we'll say, you kind of see it like on a t-shirt. So the neckline, I don't know what the right, technical term for it, but it's like, I'm sorry, not like a shirt, like on a t-shirt, like the neckline is like reinforced, right? You know, like, so we'll say, so the Gemara says, so Shmuel says, lemata means below the reinforced neckline. What is it? The piping? Piping of the shirt? Sounds like a concrete term to me, piping. Right? So the piping. The piping fine. Below the neckline. So the Kohen Gadol. Let's go work backwards. The Kohen Hedyot Rabosai, when he cuts kriya for a loved one, he cuts kriya at the neckline. They cut the top of the garment. That's lamala. Lamata means the Kohen Gadol cuts not at the neckline, but rather in the garment itself. Rabosai, now what's the chab of that? Because when you cut in the garment itself, then what happens? The tear might not necessarily be visible. So I'll say, so machlokis ultimately, again, lamala mikame sapa, vizev vizev et sava. So I'll say, machlokis Rav and Shmuel, ultimately, again, where we are actually cutting. Are we cutting, what does lamala lamata mean? Rav says, lamata means literally at the bottom of the garment, that's where the Kohen Gadol is cutting. Lamala means the top of the garment, that's where the Kohen Hedyot is cutting. Shmuel says, no, lamala means at the neckline, that's where the Kohen Hedyot is cutting. And lamata means what? Lamata means below the neckline, that's where the Kohen Gadol is cutting. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this Meisvei tomorrow. Shkoyach.
Yeah.